listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It's time for the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest pastor today, Pastor Jim Kress of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Englewood, Florida. Pastor Kress, welcome to His Time.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you as our guest today. Looking forward to studying in Acts chapter 16. Tell us about Redeemer Lutheran Church in Englewood, Florida.
Yes, as you mentioned, we're in Englewood, Florida. That's on the Gulf Coast of the Sunshine State. And Englewood is located on a peninsula south of Tampa, Florida, south of Sarasota, but north of Fort Myers and Naples. It is, as you can imagine, a area in which people come to visit most of the time in the winter months. And so here we have two seasons that we deal with, the one that we are currently in, which is our rainy season. You guys all know it as hurricane season, from about June 1st till November 1st. And then our second season is our snowbird season, in which we delight in receiving many Lutherans, LCMS Lutherans, into our congregation, filling up our pews and rejoicing in the Lord's gifts and word and sacrament.
Well, thanks be to God for His good gifts, and that the saints can gather and receive those good gifts there in Englewood, Florida. We're in Acts chapter 16 today, verses 1 through 22. Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this text?
Well, in going through the book of Acts, of course, the first part of it is mainly dealing with Peter, and now we're dealing with Paul and have been dealing with Paul and Barnabas. But as you know, there was a little bit of dispute and maybe even a sharp dispute between Paul and Barnabas about Mark. We have come to know as perhaps the church's first division or schism, but it wasn't over doctrine. It was simply over a simple misunderstanding about whether Mark was equipped to carry on in the journey. But nevertheless, so we begin here in chapter 16 with Paul's second missionary journey, of which is a lot longer than his first. This second missionary journey will take us through probably, I think, all the way through Acts chapter 18. And then following will be the third missionary journey. But there are many, many things that are going on here as the text will review.
All right, let's take a look. Acts chapter 16, beginning at the first verse. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers, and Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. So here we have Paul traveling. He comes to two places.
Derbe and Lystra, mm-hmm. in which he also visited in his first missionary journey. And so this was not an unfamiliar site for Paul to go. But as spoken before, he's now without Barnabas, but now has a companion named Silas with him. And so we come across this familiar name, Timothy. And Timothy actually becomes perhaps one of Paul's most important associates as he accompanies him not only on this missionary journey, but also on the third missionary journey. And Paul writes two letters, 1 and 2 Timothy, directly to Timothy. And Timothy is indeed a prominent figure in Paul's missionary work. And as the text stated, he was the son of a mixed marriage between his mother, Eunice, who was a Jewish woman, but his father, as the text reveals, was a Gentile Greek. And being the head of the household, he most likely did not allow Timothy to be circumcised. But allowed his wife to bring up Timothy in the Hebrew scriptures. And as we also know that Timothy's grandmother, Lois, also, when we read the 1 Timothy chapter 1, how Paul talks about how since infancy he was brought up in the scriptures by his mother and his grandmother. And so we presume perhaps at this point that that Timothy's father is now deceased. We don't know for sure, but he seems to be out of picture because now Paul circumcises Timothy, which of course may bring up some questions, because earlier, especially when we read in the book of in Galatians, Paul does not circumcise Titus, and so we have some question here as to why Paul doesn't circumcise Titus but circumcises Timothy. And in regard to the Titus situation, we know that the circumcision party believed that it was necessary for salvation for one to be circumcised, which is not true. It's false. For salvation comes by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and this is the gospel in which Paul is proclaiming. But with regard to Timothy's case, because Paul knows that he is going to Jewish synagogues as well as to bring the word to Gentiles, he felt that it was necessary for Timothy to be circumcised so that he would be welcomed among the Jews in those synagogues. And so that's the purpose for Timothy being circumcised. It was not out of tradition's sake or anything like that. It was so that it would be easier for Timothy to be welcomed, since he was going to be a close companion for a number of years to come. So we see a lot of things going on there. And of course, the other thing that is noted here is that, and as they went their way to other cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. Of course, this is about the letter that was given to Paul by the Jerusalem Council concerning some of the traditions or practices going on in those newly infant churches in those towns. And so Paul was going to be delivering those things. The interesting thing about that is that Paul never brings up these decrees in his own letters, thus signifying that his message is direct revelation from Christ and not from man, as Paul mentions that on an occasion. And as we see here in verse 5, and so the churches were strengthened in the faith and they increased in number, which is a common theme that we hear from Luke in the book of Acts. And all this is done through the power of the Word, the working of the Holy Spirit.
Anything else in verses 1 through 5, Pastor, before we go on to the next section?
No, that's all I could pretty much think about or what the Holy Spirit has revealed to me at this time.
All right, let's take a look at verses 6 and following. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So they went through the region, Phrygia, Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and if it wasn't there, they weren't going to be allowed to go up to Bithynia as well. We'll take one thing at a time here. You see, it's the Holy Spirit who is forbidding Paul and his delegation from speaking the word of God to Asia, which is interesting, although he does visit that area later on in this journey and in his third missionary journey. I just thought it was interesting that We don't know the reason why. Maybe there were bandits on the road that would prevent them. Perhaps there was health reasons or weather. We just don't know, but God knows. But it's interesting that what are the towns down there in Asia Minor that really stand out to me, at least, were the seven churches in Asia Minor that are spoken of in the Book of Revelation, and which of course Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And so Paul is unable, although his heart's desires to go there and to proclaim the word, because Paul is a zealous man, he wants to shout out to the world the gospel of Christ, but he's forbidden by the Holy Spirit, not by his own flesh, but by the will of God. And then, of course, as they were going, traveling up on the mountainous region of Mysia, they attempted to go up into the northern, north of them, into Bithynia, thinking, hey, that would be a good place to proclaim the gospel as well. But again, interesting here, Luke uses the phrase, the spirit of Jesus, not allowing. Now, this isn't the first time that this phrase is used. Paul uses it on three occasions, and even Peter uses it once, the spirit of Jesus, so this isn't foreign. But we do know of Bithynia receiving the gospel later, and most likely from Peter, as his letter, his first letter, indicates. But anyways, this all goes to show us that it is not God's will for Paul and his missionaries to go in those areas. God has another direction for them to head, of which they're still not certain about until they get to Troas. Of course, that borders the coastal land, and what separates them at Troas and Europe or Greece is, of course, the Aegean Sea, Paul is kind of boxed in here, not necessarily knowing where to go. Until at night, a man appears to him in a vision. Now, we don't know whether this is in a dream or that the man actually appears to him in a vision. This language of seeing vision is not, again, foreign to scriptures, is not foreign to Paul. This occurs to him again later in Acts chapter 18. It occurs to Peter on occasion. The Lord appeared to Abraham, spoke to Abraham in a vision. Daniel has seen many visions. The writer to of the Book of Revelation was a vision in which Jesus Christ revealed to him. And so you should not get all caught up in this language of vision, but rejoice in knowing that this is what God is doing for Paul, for the church. And so when Paul had heard the cry for help from this man, immediately when they got up, they concluded that, as the text says, that God had called them to preach the gospel there. And that is a remarkable thing, because what lies in Greece? A lot of Greek mythology, a lot of pagan worship, and I'm just going to kind of steal some words here from the Apostle Paul, perhaps when he speaks in 2 Corinthians, but as he sees Greece that virtually had everything except Christ, and therefore had nothing, Paul, who had nothing but Christ, virtually goes there to bring them everything, and that is everything that is in Christ, salvation. So it's a very important part here of what happens as now Paul, God uses Paul to bring the word of God to Europe.
Anything else up through verse 10, Pastor, before we go to break?
India, unless you have a question for me, I'm good.
All right, let's go to a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll take a look at the conversion of Lydia, and then we'll begin Paul and Silas in prison. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. We're studying with Pastor Jim Kress of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Englewood, Florida.
Martin Luther says that when we pray, "Thy will be done," we are praying against the devil. What does he mean? Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll resurrect our series on the Lutheran Confessions, talking with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House about the Large Catechism, the Lord's Prayer, its third petition.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Liturgical art is a beautiful expression of Christ's great love for us. I'm Kelly Schumacher, founder of Agnus Dei Arts, and I would like to help you learn about liturgical art and the beauty it portrays as you view it through paintings, drawings, sculptures, and altarpieces. I'm available to speak with your group. My website is agnusdeiarts.com, agnusdeiarts.com.
You're listening to His Time. We're studying the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest today, Pastor Jim Kress of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Englewood, Florida. We're in Acts chapter 16 today, picking up at verse 11. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the woman who had come together. And one heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. So they setting sail from Troas, made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and fought the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and they were outside in what they supposed to be a place of prayer, sat down and talked to the women, and particularly one who heard them, Lydia. What mm-hmm. do we learn about their travels and who they meet here, Pastor?
The the voyage on the ship from Troas to Philippi was about a 2-day trip, 125 miles of water to cross. Interesting enough, on their way back, it takes them 5 days because the weather was did not cooperate with them. But nevertheless, so and it seems as though Luke writing here seems to be in a hurry to get to what takes place when they reach Philippi, and so which is a wonderful thing that takes place as you've read, the interesting thing here, I suppose, is there wasn't an established synagogue there, because I guess Jewish law required that there be at least 10 heads of household men in order to establish a synagogue. And so that was not the case. And so the women would gather together. They gathered near the river out of convenience, so they could do their proper washings. And so here comes Paul, and they would allow Paul to speak, being a Jew. And so they would allow him to speak, even offer a blessing, and so on and so forth. And so on account of his preaching, the truth in its purity to the hearers, most carefully but rightly, Luke writes that it was the Lord who opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul said. And it is indeed the case that the Lord opens our hearts to hear God's word. Paul says elsewhere in 1 Corinthians regarding who am I, who is Apollos? I planted, Apollos watered, but it was God who provided the increase. And so it is important that we understand that where the word of God does not exist, conversion, a saving faith can never be received. And so that's why the word of God needs to be proclaimed everywhere in its truth and purity. And so after, and Luke getting cutting to the chase here, because it appears that after her heart was opened, she was baptized, and not just her, but her entire household. Her children, her servants, perhaps, being a woman, selling of cloth and purple clothing. She was obviously an established woman who probably was well off. And she was a woman who was self-supporting. And so she had a household. And of course, as many of us in the Lutheran Church, this is a Sadeus doctrine. Trini regarding infants being baptized, because in the word household, where does it leave out the infant? It doesn't. And so we baptize households, which includes infants, because this is the means of grace in which God has instituted for us, commanded us there in Matthew chapter 18, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as she has received this wonderful blessing and gift of salvation, what does faith do but move us to love our neighbor? And so she opens up her home, being very hospitable to the visitors, and she stayed with them. She wanted to follow them and so forth. So. The word of God works miracles, and it is because it's always the Lord, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, always working in that word.
Anything else up through verse 15 before we move on to Paul and Silas?
I said that there's so many things happening here. There really, really is, and it only gets more involved the more that you read the book of Acts. It's just an amazing book in which I think is underread and misunderstood, perhaps because it's long and there's so many things happening there. I don't know where I'm at and so on and so forth. But it just shows us God's hand in all the activity. So if you'd like to continue, we'll continue.
All right, let's take a look at Paul and Silas. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her," and it came out that very hour. Wow.
In one day, Lydia comes to faith. Perhaps we would consider Lydia and her household the first converts in Europe. And now the next day, as they set out for that very same place of prayer, they come upon a slave girl. Obviously, she's owned by some folks, some men. But she has a spirit of divination, a spirit of fortune telling. In other words, she has an evil spirit. And you would think that demon possessed slave girl would be saying all kinds of bad things to Paul and to Silas and to Timothy and to Luke. But on the contrary, the evil spirit rightly declares that these are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. Who would argue that, right? Even Jesus rebuked a demon-possessed man who proclaimed, what do you want with us, you most high of Israel? But Jesus doesn't want, God doesn't want evil spirits to proclaim salvation, because they will deceive later. And so what happens here, Paul, who becomes annoyed with her, rebukes not her, but rebukes the spirit. And look at the method, or how he rebukes her. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he does, because as Jesus himself rebukes the wind and the waves and all becomes calm, he is the creator and the preserver, and he has authority in heaven and on earth, and the creator has dominion over the creation. And so the evil spirit, the spirit of divination, cannot refuse the command from Paul by God.
So the spirit came out that very hour. Verse 19, but when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, these men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off and gave orders to beat them with rods. Wow.
Lies. I mean, here's an old proverb. Touch a man's pocket and you often touch the only sensitive spot about him. Again, the slave girl, she made money for her owners because she would fortune tell and all that kind of stuff. Because now the spirit no longer possesses the slave girl, she can no longer make them money. And so owners make an accusation and bring both Paul and Silas, drag them, and we could perhaps, out of their anger, they are physically dragging these Jews. Now, remember, I think it was Claudius who decreed that there be no Jews in Rome. I think this is a little bit earlier. And so the Jews were eradicated out of Rome because they were considered troublemakers. And so we're in a Roman province. And so Roman rules apply here. And so they drag Paul and Silas, and say, hey, these guys are Jews, and they're causing a disturbance among the people, and which is a lie. They didn't cause a disturbance among the people. They merely took the source of their getting rich away from them, and that was their complaint. But yet they didn't vocalize that complaint, because that would reveal their true greediness. But anyways, this is the beginning, of course, where Paul and Silas are in prison. It's Paul and Silas. And why Paul and Silas? Did Luke run away? Did Timothy run away? No. Remember, Timothy was a half Jew, half Gentile. And to the best of our knowledge, we think that Luke was probably was a Gentile. But Paul and Silas were Jews, and so that's why they were mad. And not only that, but Paul was the proclaimer, but that didn't mean that Silas and Timothy and Luke did not teach or preach either. I'm just saying that Paul was the main guy. He was the headliner, and he was the troublemaker. And he was the one who rebuked the spirit, the evil spirit, to come out of the girl, and it did. Now we find ourselves, I suppose, for tomorrow's lesson, finding Paul and Silas in jail. And But it doesn't end there. More and more miracles come about. And this is the wonderful thing about our saving God, is that even in the midst of trouble in our world today, in our own lives, God is watching over us. He knows what's happening. He watches over us and gives us everything that we need in this body and life in preparation for the life to come in his eternal kingdom. And so fear not. I mean, there's a common theme in Scripture. Fear not. Trust in God. Abide in him. And he knows you're coming in and you're going out. And may he continue to bless you and bless your hearers and all who come to faith in the word of Christ.
Looking over the text as a whole, and just about a minute left, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from Acts chapter 16 today?
I can't say enough about God's activity in Paul's journey. Yes, there are times when Paul is forbidden to go in places where he wanted to go. Sometimes God's answer is not yet. And that happens for us as well. And we can glean from Scripture things that are relevant for us today as well. Continue to read the Scriptures, study the Scriptures, search the Scriptures. And as you'll find out later in chapter 17, do what the Bereans did. Search the Scriptures to make sure that what your preacher is teaching is true.
We've been studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Jim Kress of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Englewood, Florida. Pastor Kress, thanks for helping us study in Acts chapter 16 today.
It's all my pleasure, Andy.
God bless you and all the saints at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Englewood, Florida. Coming up in just a little bit, more His Time to Sanctify Your Morning. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.